And now, back to the Johnny B Show.
Welcome back to Johnny B Show. Happy Sunday afternoon, you bunch of b-holes. Once again, doing our Sunday edition of the Johnny B Show. Normally, you could hear this craziness Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to midnight, right here on this beautiful station, along with your other incredible shows that you hear. You could also listen on the Bone app anytime you want, at your leisure. All the shows are looped 24 hours a day for free. Just download the Bone app on any app platform you got out there. Also, go to theboneonline.com. Check out Bone TV. We're on it right now. You can see myself in the Fat Cave studio where I broadcast from on Sundays and sometimes Wednesdays. Out here in Valrico, Florida, gateway to Plant City, gateway to Lakeland, gateway to Winter Haven. So get in there. Along with me, as always, the other half of the Johnny B Show, it is Big Willie Koontz.
I got to figure out what I'm going to get for lunch. Starting to get hungry.
Well, lunch isn't happening until 2 o'clock, pal.
I know.
So,
I just got to think about what to get on the way home.
It's going to be breakfast for me. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Along with us, of course, is Corey Cardinal. You can hear him on the show on Saturday afternoons. I don't know if you've heard of it.
What's
it called? Probably have. I think, let me look in here. I'm looking at the line. Oh, it's the mic. Sorry about your sheets. Micro radio show.
Corey's face. He hates it.
I'm going to see myself
and
out.
I love it now.
I'm going to see myself out.
I have to do it whenever I see Corey now just for his reaction. It's priceless. I love it.
Oh, man. Oh, that other very satisfied voice you heard is Ben Swig. You could hear him also on Ben Swig, or Migs and Swigs on Saturdays right here on 102.5
it's
The Bone.
It's just Swig, right? It's not Migs and Swigs.
Technically, it's Swig. But the big guy who hosts every mornings here on 102.5 The Bone has, from the beginning, called it Swigs.
Yeah.
So
that's why I follow his lead.
Who am I to argue?
Hey, Ben, how do you – can you give me advice of how to become friends with Mike?
Galta?
Yeah.
Just kiss his ass a lot.
All right.
No,
I do that.
You know what? Here's the thing.
He's my hero.
Well, then tell him that. And the thing about Mike is he is so the way he stuck up for Ryan Hoppe. I don't know if you guys follow that whole nonsense. I don't want to.
On Mike and Kelly and Calta. Yeah.
Right. And confronted the guy who, called out Hoppe.
Chad Zumbach or whatever. Yeah.
You said it, not I. But whatever, happened, it was just, I was just in there going, you know what? He's the most loyal, caring, you talk about the Bone fam or whatever, and it doesn't matter if, you're Drew Grabo or Johnny B or SBK, host of the other shows, or you're a weekend guy like we are, or a board op or promotions. I mean, Mike truly, has got everybody's back just be yourself.
What a concept.
Man. Well,
that's crazy.
Just be yourself.
Yeah. That's not so great, though. That's the problem.
Oh, no, it is really good. And I'm not just, brown nosing you. You're a good dude, man.
Okay. Actually, you're in a good place. You're in a good place, Will, because he does talk good about it. The whole Mike Calta show is their team, Will, it seems. So
they are.
Mike and I have been friends way before I was on the radio. So I've known him for a long time, and he was very instrumental with me getting a job on the radio. He didn't actually get me the job, but he nudged me in the right direction to go to that crazy contest to get my foot in the door. And he's been very supportive since then. And it's funny because Mike is more of a comedian than people know because he's in that realm. Like, his best friends are comics. Like, for years, his best friend in the world was Ralphie May, and now he's really good friends with Bobby Kelly and all these other comics. So Bert, and it's just like he understands comedy to the point where he is one of the best ball busters out there. Yep. And so, like, I'll have people like text me or message me. They go like, dude, did you hear what Mike said about you this morning? And I'm like, no, but I'm sure it was funny. You know what I mean? Like, my feelings aren't hurt. Like, we bust balls. That's what we do. So, you know, of course, I don't bust his balls on the air because people don't understand how that kind of humor
dynamic,
is. So if
yeah.
I were to say something ball busty about the king of Tampa radio on my show, I would get such blowback. People would turn on me so quick, and it would be like, oh, Johnny. And it would blow up on social media. And by the time Mike woke up at 4 a.m. or whenever he wakes up to do the show from home now, he would see all this stuff like Johnny B said this. And it's like that telephone game. Once one person says one thing, like if I said anything, like if I, you know, said something about his weight because we're both fat, by the time he got it on social media, it would be the worst. He would be like, what the hell did Johnny B say last night? And so it's like, I can't bust balls, but he obviously, you know, he's my Calvin. He could bust balls all he wants. And I most of the time I'll hear it because I listen to them for about an hour every morning on my way into the day job. And I laugh every single time, like that they say something, you know, like even when Carmen says something, anybody says something about me, it's always in fun. I've never heard them say something where I go, oh my God, I'm in a bad place right now. I'm going to get fired or something. Like, why did they hate me? Like, you can't be that way. Like, it took me about a year in radio to figure that out. Cause for a while there, I was like, Jesus, man, I don't think anybody likes me. You know, like, I think everybody hates my guts. And I was right with a lot of them, but
yeah.
But Mike is not one of those.
And the one thing, you know, not the one thing, but another great thing about Mike is the cross promotion. He goes, I think, out of his way to, you know, make sure he talks about other shows. And even our weekend show, the first Monday after our first show on Sunday, we started on Sunday. You know, he was looking at us and I had the swords in the picture and he was asking, you know, if I was a douchebag.
I remember I heard that live.
And this was the first, and he spent an hour on it and it in the beginning of the show. And then JoJo texted me and said, you know, Mike was talking about you on the radio. You should call in. And this was, I think they'd moved on from it. and I called and I said, you know, Carmen, Ben Swig, you know, I don't know if Mike wants to talk to me, put me right on the air and then start talking about it again for 30. So, but he's always, I think, I haven't talked about this, but it seems like going out of his way to cross promote other shows.
Yeah. It's funny too, because like with the ball busting, like I was saying, like people don't get it. Sometimes this guy came up to me, and man, I'm brain farting his name and I feel bad now if he's listening. But, when I was at Snappers in Palm Harbor, about 3 weeks ago, this guy came up to me after the show. And I had two fantastic nights of comedy there. It was so much fun. Everybody before me had great sets. The crowd, both crowds were just extraordinary crowds. Like, and I feed off of that like most, performers do. But this guy came up to me after the show and he goes, hey man, first of all, wow. Best comedy show I've seen in a long time, man. That was really, really good. And I was like, thanks, man. Appreciate it. And he goes, I listened to The Bone all day. And I go, well, awesome. I really like to hear that somebody, you know, from a listener standpoint came to see me at a show. That means a lot. And he goes, you know, I listen to Mike Calta every morning. And from what those guys, you know, the way they talk about you, I honestly thought you weren't going to be very good tonight. And I started laughing my ass off. Man. I go, those sons of bitches. Like, yeah. And I go, well, I go, you know, they're kidding, right? Like I don't think they really feel that way, man. He goes, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they're busting balls. And I go, yeah, that's what they're doing. It's fine. And I said, but do me a favor, call in Monday and tell them that I'm the best comedian in Tampa and they could all suck it. And he goes, I might do that. I don't think he did that, but that would have been funny. So I don't know. That was a prime example of like how people don't understand sometimes how we kick each other in the balls around here.
Hey, but Will, if you do reach out to him and you talk, you know, call him on the phone,
on the telephone.
But and he doesn't
on
respond.
The telephone every goddamn night.
Every night. What's this boy talking about on the telephone?
Of course,
he was on the telephone.
don't be offended if he doesn't call you back or if you ask him a question and he doesn't respond to you right away.
Yeah, I mean, I've exchanged a few text messages with him here and there. I just don't want to. It's such a fine line of not being like being friendly and then being annoying. You got to walk that tightrope, yeah. You know. So yeah. When I didn't get a response back, I was just like, I'm done.
Well, I mean, not that I'm his best friend, but.
Yeah, you are, aren't you?
No.
You're up there.
Robert Kelly, you guys
go to like major, like you fly to Vegas to watch boxing matches. And
yeah.
If he had 10, a list of top 10, I think the past couple of years, I might have just broke through the top 10.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm teetering on, you know, the top 10, Mike Calta's best friend list.
I think I dropped out of his top 100 when I almost killed your kids and his kids.
Oh,
yeah.
man.
He does not. He is the worst at returning phone calls. He is the worst at responding to text messages, probably on the history of this earth. So it's across the line.
I was trying to give him like he was talking about doing a podcast before he started doing it with Bobby, and I wanted to hear a podcast with him because he's got a really big following. He's been on the air here for many years, and there's a lot of moments that were like the Gallagher incident. That is a legendary moment.
Yeah,
I would like to hear him go in depth about that, about what happened. And even if it's like 15 minutes or something. So that was my idea for his podcast. Just like moments have happened on the many years that he's been on the air, just kind of talk about him more. You know?
Well, the best thing about, I think, his greatest talent that's sort of overlooked that I see is his interview style and ability.
Yes,
you know, he has, you know, Nikki and I for our book have been lucky enough to do a lot of interviews. By far, the best interview we did was on the Mike Calta show, and Mike doing the interview.
But no slight to Mike, but you have a relationship with Mike. You know each other.
Yeah, but it was the questions.
He's the best. He is the best. And look, I don't know. I can't say where he learned it, but if I had to guess where he learned it, he grew up like listening to Stern, like a lot of us.
Absolutely.
But Mike, he seems like he was a real student of that style of interviewing and talk radio, and I've said that before. I've said my two favorite people for interviews are Stern and Mike Calta because it just seems like they get the most out, like they squeeze that orange
because
of that
they're
juice,
fearless.
You know?
I think part of it is that they're fearless about the questions they ask or not. You know, they can cross a line, but cross a line in a way that's sometimes it blows up in both their faces. But
from my experience, and I did a lot of research on how to interview people. I'm not even kidding. I Googled when I first started doing my radio show on the weekends at midnight. I Googled how to conduct a good interview because I wanted to know what people were writing about, like how you do it. And that's when I started putting two and two together and seeing, you know, like how the greats do it and, you know, what I gathered from it. And when I interview people, I try to ask them what I would like, what I think people would want to know about them. like, not just myself, but I like to think like, what are, if I had a survey of 10 things that people wanted to know about this person, what would I want them, I need to get that out of them instead of just shooting the breeze, which is okay sometimes, I guess. But if it's a polarizing, personality, people are sitting in their car going, they're probably screaming, like, ask them how many times they've had sex. You know, they're saying, they want to know things. And that's the thing. You got to get that out of them. And then if you could do it in an entertaining way, that's what separates you from somebody that just does news. Ugh.
You know what? I will never be a good interviewer. I think the one skill is active listening.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, what I do is I try to think about the next question or the next thing I'm going to say instead of sort of a microcosm for my whole life, Johnny, you know, about being present and being in that moment and not trying to like, you know, think about what I'm going to say next, but, you know, be active listening.
This is the thing that took me about 4 years to really get comfortable with. The number one thing is not taking the lead role in an interview. Like, it's about them. So you ask the question and get the hell out of the way and let them talk. Where a lot of personalities, because we're egomaniacs, a lot of personalities, they want to step in and make it about them. So you ask somebody a question, you know, you say, you know, hey, so how long, you know, have you been, you know, eating, how long have you been a vegan? And you ask them that. And then they get two sentences out and you go, man, you know, I could never be a vegan, da, 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 da. And then you go on a diatribe for like 5 minutes and your guy that you're interviewing is sitting in the background like,
what the hell is this guy? Is he going to let me talk? Like, you ask him a question, get the hell out of the way, and let them shine. That's something that took me a long time to get comfortable with. Like, because I you know, it's about me, man. It's about me. It's a Johnny B show, you son of a bitch.
As I always say, I ain't much, but I'm all I think about.
Aw, you're adorable.
In order to do that, you have to have a giant ego, though, to do any sort of radio or comedy. You have to go,
yes.
I have a voice that is important enough that everybody needs to hear it.
That's the catch 22, man. Yeah. Yes, it really is. So you have to find a balance. You have to make sure everybody knows that you're still, you know, the star of the show and you're running the interview. But at the same time, you got to sit back and let the other person shine. It's like, you can't always run down the court and dunk it. Sometimes you have to pass it to the sixth man. Let him shoot a three-pointer. Let the win the game. Win the game. So somebody that's winning the game right now is Hurricane Hannah. She seems to be winning over Texas, but not by much. I believe she hit as a Category 1 last night. I'm looking at some video, and there's some flooding. It doesn't look good in some parts. Doing what hurricanes do. This is the selfish part of me. I'm like, well, better them than us. You know, but I know I shouldn't feel that way.
No, look, I think everybody who's lived in Florida, especially the one that was coming up right up the side or right up the state that was going to hit Tampa bad or
Irma.
Which one was the one that veered off in like
17?
No, like 2004, 2003.
Charlie actually destroyed Punta Gorda.
Punta Gorda, like, right. But that was going to come right up the bay. I mean, that was headed for Tampa, and then it took that sharp right south of us. But look, part of it's like it's going to hit somewhere. Like I think everybody, it's a terrible feeling, but don't, I felt that way. So, if that gives you any.
You know what's funny is I like that people think that Mother Nature cares about our problems. Like I've seen people posting, really, during the pandemic, do the hurricanes really have to happen right now? Yeah, Mother Nature don't care. Mother Nature isn't really a person with a brain. It's just a character. Like it's just science. Science it doesn't have a soul or a conscience. Like these patterns are going to happen. We're going to get whacked with hurricanes. We're going to have all the stuff that normally happens on top of coronavirus. So enjoy. What I hope, and we talked about this the other night, Will, I hope Miami doesn't get hit. And this is the first year I felt that way. Every year I'm like, man, I hope Miami gets hit because I don't really like Miami. But
that's a little different.
Yeah, I know. Screw Miami. I've been there many times. I don't like it. Anyway, but I don't want them to get hit now. And it's not because I care about Miami. I don't want those COVID-infested heathens running from a hurricane to Tampa. And that's where they're coming if a hurricane hits Miami. I know it sounds heartless, but I'm heartless. I'm sorry. I don't want them causing that outbreak here because we got it bad enough in Hillsborough and Pinellas and everything. But Miami is like the complete epicenter like of the entire country right now. It is a mess. So I don't want them like running from a hurricane because I know if I was in Miami and I was leaving Miami, I'd be going to Jacksonville or Tampa. And that's or Orlando, so I don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary, and we're so due for a hit here.
We really are.
Hit. It's been so many times. Charlie, we missed, and then Irma too recently, and that one was. And you left, didn't you, Johnny? You'd like to.
Yeah, because the storm. Well, the storm tracked the spaghetti model, and I take spaghetti very seriously. Fat joke. Bam, got one in there. The spaghetti model had this thing going directly over my house. I'm not even kidding. I zoomed in on it, and it was going directly over Valrico. Like, it just cut right up to I-75, and it's like, hey, Irma's coming. You guys, you ready? And I was going to sit it out. I'm a badass. I don't care. I'm very buoyant. I float. But we have these the house that we're in has these big, like, windows up high and the vaulted ceilings, and you could see the oak tree swaying, right at the ceiling line of my house at all times. So my girlfriend had a lot of anxiety and she was freaking out. And I looked at her, I said, do you want to get out of here? Would that make you feel better? And she's like, please, can we just go? Her sister lives in this,
this tiny quaint town in Georgia, actually the town where they filmed Stranger Things. And she's like, they have a big house. They said we can come up there. And I was like, if it'll make you feel better, let's bounce. So we boarded up the windows and hauled ass like a day before this thing arrived. And it ended up not being bad here. It ended up, I think our house lost power for about a day because I had Whitmore come by and check on the house. And that was about it. But yeah, we did that whole drive. Took about 11 hours through all the traffic and everything. Stayed there for 2 days. Enjoyed a nice little vacay for 2 days. I mean, while this place was getting hit, we were at the movies, you know, like watching, It Chapter 2 or something, and going out to eat and just having a good old time. It was crazy.
Well, I was prepared. I went to Timbo's house, and he's well equipped there. And we were getting ready for the direct hit. And then over the night, I got drunk and I sat on this porch, and it was just the bands that were coming in, and yeah. I could see the trees kind of swaying down, laying down, and you saw the transformer boxes. Mm-hmm. You know what
blowing
I'm talking
up.
About. Blowing up, and it was like this beautiful chaos and just explosions in the air.
Right?
And I was like, I wasn't really scared of hurricanes before. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'm from Florida, but if one says it's coming here, I'm out. I'm peacing out, because just the bands coming in from that one was just, I mean, power was out for a long time from just the bands even here. So I was like, I think you made the right move just getting the hell out of town.
Have you ever done like a real hurricane party?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Oh,
anybody
yeah.
here?
No.
What do you mean by a party?
Like there's a hurricane. It's not like it's either like a category one that's hitting pretty close, or it's a big one that's 100 miles away. So you're getting some rain and some wind. And then, you get a keg, you get a bunch of people over, you have a barbecue, and everybody's... Like I've been at a hurricane party before, and they invited me only because they wanted me to cook the barbecue. But yeah, it was I'm out there barbecuing. There's like sideways rain hitting me in the face. Everybody's drunk. There's music playing. They had a generator just in case. It was a good time, but it was crazy to think that we were all having a good time with this. But yeah,
I drove home in a tropical storm from one of those parties. We had like a little beach house thing. And then it was the only one on the road. My little Geo Prism was just swaying back and forth in the lanes. But I was 18, you do dumb stuff.
You're invincible when you're 18.
Yeah. It was fun. I like driving in it. It was crazy. Rain was just, just beating down the car, and wind was blowing it. But I was the only one on the road, so it's not like I was going to crash in.
Do you remember, Ben remembers this. You probably weren't living here then, but in the 80s, we had Hurricane Elena sat in the Gulf for like a week trying to figure out which direction she wanted to go. And it looked like we were going to get a direct hit. And she just sat out there. So what really affected this side of Florida was the rainfall, like so much flooding. And I lived in Seminole Heights, and we had flooding, but not quite as bad as South Tampa gets flooding every time there's even a light rainstorm. Right. But I remember our neighborhood flooded so bad, it was like a ghetto water park. So we went outside and we're like riding our bikes through 4 foot of water. We're like, we're diving off of people's front porches into their front yards. Like it's, like it's a Adventure Island. And I remember we were swimming down a road on our street, and there was these power workers. And they were like, hey, there's a power line down on this road, you goddamn idiot kids. And we're like, so what, man? Who cares, man? We're having fun. Because it was like rapids. The water was flowing so hard down the street. We were like whitewater rafting, on boards and stuff in the middle of Seminole Heights. And we didn't know that we were possibly going to electrocute ourselves to death until grown-ass men were yelling at us to go home. But that's the difference of now. And in the 80s, the 80s,
wild
back
time.
When we were building ramps out of like shopping carts and 2x4s and killing ourselves. And it was no big deal.
Doing cocaine.
That happened in my neighborhood growing up, too. we pulled out the canoe and canoed around the streets in my neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, when I lived in South Tampa, when Zane was going to Plant and playing football at Plant for a minute, we would get like a tropical storm. We had a tropical storm come through, and we sat like in front of our apartment, and Domino's was delivering pizza with a boat, like with a little motor on it. They were just like
30 minutes or less.
it's like, damn, man. Like, you know your neighborhood floods a lot when the Domino's has a boat on staff. Like, they're like, yep, get the boat out the back. People are hungry. So it's pretty nuts. If you're just joining us, this is the Sunday afternoon edition of the Johnny B Show. Lucky enough to have Corey Cardinal and Ben Swig with us today. You can hear myself and Will Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to midnight. We have one more hour to go. We'll take a break and we come back. We'll do a little segment we call What the Hell News. It's news stories that seem fake, but they're real. We'll do it when we come back. It's the Johnny B Show.
It's the Johnny B Show on 102.5 The Bone.